Our scripture reading today will be from Hebrews chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 6. Let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now let's review a few things in the book of Hebrews before we look at this text in detail. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible shows us that Jesus is greater than the angels. He's greater than the angels because Jesus is God. Jesus is deity. That's Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible shows us that although Jesus is greater than the angels, he became a little lower than the angels when he became a man. And in Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible shows us that Jesus became a man so that he could be our great high priest and offer himself as the perfect sacrifice. Now that's Hebrews chapter 2. And for the first time in this book, in Hebrews 2 verse 17, the Bible says that Jesus is our high priest. Now then, in Hebrews chapter 3, we find that Jesus is compared to somebody else. In Hebrews chapter 3, we find that Jesus is greater than one of the most revered men in Jewish history. That man was Moses. Now think about how much respect the Jews had for Moses. Remember that some Jewish Christians had turned away from Jesus and they had turned back to Moses' law. And there were others of these Christians that were either having questions or were not really grounded in their knowledge of the gospel. And so to tell any Jew, back in the first century especially, that there was somebody that was greater than Moses would get that Jew's attention. But that's exactly what we see in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Jesus is greater than Moses. So let's begin in verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling because this calling is from heaven. It is from the Lord. It's called a calling because that means an invitation. The Bible says that we are called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 says that God calls us by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls us by this written message that we have in the New Testament. Now, he says to these Christians, and he says to us, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible calls Jesus an apostle. Now, remember that the word apostle means one who has been sent, one who is sent. Sometimes the word apostle is just a general word. It just means somebody that is sent in the general sense. And so that's why you find in Acts 14, verse 14, that the Bible calls Paul and Barnabas apostles. Barnabas was not one of the chosen apostles like Paul was, but he was an apostle in the sense of being one who was sent out. And he was sent out on this missionary journey that we read about in Acts 13 and Acts chapter 14. So sometimes in the Bible, the word apostle is a generic word, and it simply means one who is sent. Now, what that person is sent for and the kind of mission that he is sent on depends on the context. But that's the general meaning of the word apostle. But at other times in the Bible, the word apostle is used in a specific sense. And this is the idea that we usually draw our minds to when we think of the word apostle. When we hear the word apostle, we usually think of those chosen apostles of Jesus Christ. We usually think of Peter, James, and John and the others that we read about, especially in Acts 1 and Acts 2 and throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But here, Jesus is called an apostle because God sent him. So Jesus is one who has been sent because God sent him, and therefore he's called an apostle. But then he calls him again the high priest. He introduced that point in chapter 2, verse 17. And again, remember that the book of Hebrews says that this is the main point of this writing, that Jesus Christ is the high priest. So everything that we have read in this book so far, and everything that we will study in this book, in some way relates to the theme that Jesus Christ is our high priest. Now then, what we're going to see in verses 2 through 6 is that the writer compares Jesus and Moses. Jesus and Moses were alike in one way. In verse 2, the Bible says, who, that is Jesus, was faithful to him that appointed him, that is, he was faithful to God, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So they were alike in that way. They were the same as far as their faithfulness and their obedience to God were concerned. So in this way, they're similar. But in a different way, they're not the same at all. Because the Bible tells us in verse 3 that Jesus deserves more glory, he deserves more honor and more praise than Moses. Now, if you were a Jew, back in the first century especially, and you'd been taught since you were a child about Moses the great lawgiver, this comment would strike you as a bold statement, and yet it is true. Jesus is greater than Moses. Now, the Lord had already told the Jews that he was above Moses. Remember back in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5, on the Mount of Transfiguration, that the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with him about his impending death. The Bible says that Peter had an idea. Let's make three tabernacles here, one for the Lord, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. God didn't want Moses and Elijah and his only begotten son being put on the same level because they're not on the same level as far as their being and as far as their authority are concerned. So in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5, God is saying Moses is not on the level of my only begotten son. Jesus is greater than Moses. In John chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In John 6, verse 32, Jesus said to the Jews that Moses did not give you that bread from heaven. And he's talking about the true bread, spiritual bread, Jesus Christ. Moses gave them manna, but Jesus said, that's not the true bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. So you see what he's doing? He's comparing what Moses gave with what he can give and what he does give. Let's notice the illustration that he uses in verses 3 and 4. It's the illustration of building a house. We're impressed. We're even amazed sometimes at some buildings. When we see a mansion, when we look at a castle, when we see the great architecture of the world, or at least pictures of it, the Taj Mahal, St. Basil's Cathedral, the pyramids of Egypt, the Eiffel Tower, we marvel at the structures that men can build. But when we look at those buildings, no matter how fascinating they are to look at, we realize that those buildings were built by somebody. And we understand that those buildings are nothing, they would not even exist without their builders. So we admire the building, but we admire the builder even more. Now, that's the point that he's making here in verse 3. This man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. And then in verse 4, he reminds us of a very simple and yet a very profound truth. He says, every house is builded by some man. Anytime that you see a structure that's been built, you realize that somebody had to make it. It didn't just pop out of nowhere. It didn't just appear. It didn't just happen. Imagine how ridiculous it would be if you saw a very beautiful house, well built, and you asked somebody who built that. And the person that you asked that question said, nobody. Nobody built this house. It just happened. It just came into being somehow, but nobody really built it. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? Wouldn't that be foolish? Now, if this is true with what human beings build, it should be even more obvious of the things that God makes, the whole universe, because this passage says, anytime you see a house, you know that somebody built that house. But he that built all things is God. That simply means that everything that you see has been made. God is the one who made this universe. God made everything. This universe could not have just happened any more than a house can just go up by itself. This is why the Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This is why the Bible plainly says that we can clearly see that God is all-powerful from the things that are made, Romans 1, verse 18. Now, in verses 5 and 6, he gives another illustration to show the difference between Jesus and Moses. And that illustration is this. Moses was a servant, but Jesus is the Son. Look at verse 5 again. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. Now, a servant in a house is not a son. Servants in a house did not have the rights, they did not have the blessings, and they did not have the inheritance that the children had. So Moses was a servant, and he says he was a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. That refers to the Messiah, to Jesus, to what he did, to what he said, to all those fulfilled prophecies. It refers to the church and the New Testament order of things. Moses was a foreshadow of all those things. And so, in that sense, Moses was a means to an end. He served God's purpose, but he was not that purpose. Jesus, on the other hand, in verse 6, is a son. But Christ as a son, not a servant in the house, but a son over his own house. You see, the son stood to receive an inheritance. He had rights and he had special privileges. And Jesus, because he's the son, has been given all authority in heaven and in earth. And notice that he says that Jesus is a son over his own house. He's not a servant in somebody else's house. He is a son over his own house, and that means he has authority over it. And the writer says, whose house are we? That means this house is the Christians in it. The we refers to, the house refers to the church. Remember, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says that the house of God is the church of the living God. So Christians are the house or the family of Christ. But there's a condition. He says we are the house of God if we hold out until the very end. And this is just one of the many verses in the book of Hebrews that warn against falling from grace. In fact, if a Christian cannot fall from grace, there was no reason that this book of Hebrews should have ever been written.